Listen, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't, if you're not fearing the Lord, there is no true wisdom without the fear of the Lord. No one can really have true wisdom without knowing God.
In this evening's message, Pastor Brian Grant first takes us to the book of Proverbs, often called by the better name, the Book of Wisdom, to see what God's Word has to say about a very sobering question. Whether or not an individual can come to a place beyond which God in His mercy will no longer reach out to him or her in saving grace. This may not be the most pleasant message you will ever hear, but it is one that demands close attention, particularly for any who may have been resisting the urging of the Spirit upon their heart and mind for a long time. It must be said, God is indeed merciful and long-suffering, but He does not play games. His Son's substitutional work on the cross is just too important for that. So we invite you to turn with us now to the book of Proverbs and listen as Pastor Grant uses a number of selected scriptures in bringing the first part of his message entitled, Is There a Point of No Return? Here now is Pastor Grant.
It was July the 25th, 2000. Air France flight number 4590 was cleared for takeoff at Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris, France, en route to JFK Airport in New York City. This was no ordinary plane. This was a Concorde, only one of 14 Concordes that ever flew. In fact, you might not know this, but a Concorde, for you young folks, a Concorde is the fastest passenger plane ever built. When the Concorde took off, it went beyond the sound barrier. There was a boom, a sonic boom, because the Concorde flew at 1,400 miles an hour, about three times the speed of today's passenger airline. The Concorde sat at its gate. It was now on the runway. And it roared down the runway. As it roared down the runway, it quickly got to a speed of 243 miles an hour. That's called V1 speed. For the Concorde, that's V1 speed. You say, what is V1 speed? V1 speed is the point at which an aircraft cannot abort. They must take off. Once you've hit V1 speed, you must take off no matter what the consequence. You've got to take off when you hit V1 speed. The Concorde had hit V1 speed, but unknown to them, a Continental airline that had just taken off had left behind a part of the Continental had fallen off on the runway, and as the Concorde roared down the runway, the tires hit the debris on the runway and catapulted it into the Concorde at such a speed that it damaged the aircraft. But they had passed V1 speed. They had passed the point of no return. The pilot had to take off. He and his co-pilot struggled to gain control of flight 4590, but within 2 minutes, the Concorde crashed into a hotel. All 109 passengers on board were killed. He had passed the point of no return, and he had to take off. And it led to devastating consequences. Do we have a point of no return? Is there a point where there is no hope for redemption? Can you continue? Can you and I continue on our present path when we get to a point? Can we get to a point where the door to heaven is closed? Is there a point of no return? This morning I want to look at our text to try and answer that question. Is there a point of no return? And I trust you will stay with me as I deal with this subject. That is so important. Is there a point of no return? You know, the book of Proverbs is a very unique book of the Bible. Because whereas other books of the Bible deal with theological issues, Proverbs is a very practical book. Proverbs is designed to help you and I navigate our daily lives. The principal writer of Proverbs is King Solomon, a man whom God gave incredible wisdom. The Bible says that God gave Solomon wisdom as much as the sand on the seashore. And if you've been out to the seashore, you realize that's a whole lot of wisdom. Other than Jesus, there is no person who has ever lived as wise as Solomon. And he was the one God chose to write this book of Proverbs. So it's no surprise that the focus of Proverbs is to help you and I live and navigate life. It's designed to instruct us in wisdom. You say, Pastor, what is wisdom? What is wisdom? You know, the book of Proverbs, as you read Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 10, we read these words: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is what? Listen, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you don't, if you're not fearing the Lord, there is no true wisdom without the fear of the Lord. No one can really have true wisdom without knowing God. You see, wisdom requires that we make the right decisions. Wisdom, when we have wisdom, we have sound judgment. We make correct decisions. And if you are not connected to God, you cannot make wise decisions. You cannot make the right choice all the time, because you have no idea what's down the road. Only God knows what's down the road. Am I right about it? The fear of the Lord. So no matter how bright you are, no matter how brilliant your professor might be, if they don't know God, they don't have true wisdom. It shouldn't shock us that our society, despite all the brilliance, haven't you become aware that our society does not seem to be getting better? Am I the only one that it seems like things aren't really getting much better? That the moral fiber of our society seems to be disintegrating? Despite all the wisdom, because so many decisions are made, and the person making the decision has no idea of the long-term consequence. Listen, the wisdom that leads to life and joy begins with knowing and fearing God. I hope you heard that. The wisdom that leads to life and joy begins with knowing and fearing God. I need to ask you, young man, young lady, older person, do you know God? I hope this morning, as God speaks, before you leave here, you will open your heart to Him and you'll receive Him as your Savior and as your Lord. But Christian, remember now, the fear of the Lord is only the beginning of wisdom. It's only the beginning. You see, the fact that you know Jesus, don't think you know it all just yet. You see, with the minute we come to Christ, we have the opportunity to really grow in wisdom, because He is willing to give us and we can seek Him. The problem is, so many Christians, we are saved, we're on our way to heaven, but we don't get attach ourselves to the resources. We don't draw from the rich resources that God has for us. We spend little time in His Word. And in a few minutes, I'm going to talk some more about this, some of the resources that God gives us, so we can be wise. We can make wise decisions. We can make right choices. In our text today, Solomon pictures wisdom as a lady. Now, we know wisdom is not a person, but Solomon pictures wisdom as a lady. You see, Proverbs is really what is called a poetic book. There are 5 poetic books in the Old Testament. And just for those of you who like to know these things, it begins in Job. From Job going forward, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastics, and Songs of Solomon, those are the 5 poetic books in the Bible. And you say, what do we mean by poetry? Doesn't sound like poetry. Now listen, English poetry depends heavily on rhyme and meter to make its point. Hebrew poetry depends very heavily on personification and imagery to make its impact. So Hebrew, as you read through the book of of Proverbs, you'll notice that a lot of inanimate things are brought to life. Personification and imagery. That's the way that Hebrew poetry works. And God is using poetic language to make some very incredible points this morning. He wants you to get his message in living color. So the passage pictures Lady Wisdom. She's moving around. And we're going to read a verse or two in a moment. She's moving around. But here's her objective. She's trying to say to everyone, if you are not walking with God, no matter whether you're a Christian or not, she's trying to say to you, if you're not walking with God, you need to change course. There are three things that she talks about changing courses that I want to bring to your attention this morning. The first thing that I want to bring to your attention, the first thing that Lady Wisdom is trying to really get into our craniums is this. There's an urgency to changing course. The first thing, the urgency of changing course. In Proverbs 1, verse 20, we read these words. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses. At the opening of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Lady Wisdom, you see the picture. She's going to all the public places. She's looking for you. She's looking for me. She's trying to find us wherever we are. She's after us, and she has a very important message. It's urgent. Don't you see the picture? It's urgent. She's searching. She's shouting. And what is she? You see, here is what she wants us to get. She's trying to get us to realize you better change course now or suffer severe consequences.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
We had a chance to go and watch the Black Panther a couple weeks ago. Some of you know that the Black Panther is now the biggest superhero movie of all times. It's the third highest grossing movie of all times. Largest superhero, third largest of all movies of all times. $1.3 billion already made from that movie, and that's billion with a B. And I ain't talking about Jamaican dollars. I'm talking about the real dollars. I'm talking about the real U.S. greenbacks. $1.3 billion. That's a lot of money. But you know, one of the most powerful moments, I thought, in Black Panther was a scene in which the Black Panther met with his cousin. You know, he had a cousin by the name of Eric Killmonger. And Eric Killmonger had some bad breaks growing up. Don't worry, I won't give you the whole story in case you haven't seen it yet. But Eric Killmonger had some bad breaks growing up. And as a result, he grew up a very angry young man. He was full of hate and violence and anger. And in one scene, after there was a major to-do between the Black Panther and Eric, the Black Panther gave him a choice, because the Black Panther realized he was on the wrong course. And the Black Panther gave him a choice to change courses. And Eric decided he what? Would not change course. And it destroyed him. And I want to suggest to you that Lady Wisdom is saying the same thing to us this morning, that if we refuse to change course, it's going to have very severe consequences. Oh, I know you like, you know, folks like to go to church and hear a message about love. But listen, God is warning us that there are consequences when we refuse to go his way. Young man, there is a consequence when you decide you're going to do your own thing. And so here we find Lady Wisdom. She is shouting to three people in particular. Three groups in particular. I don't know if you noticed it in the passage, but if not, I'll bring it to your attention. Number one, she shouts to the simple. Verse number 22, if you notice, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? The simple ones are the trusting ones. They are so trusting. The simple ones, they trust their friend without asking any, without worrying about the consequence. If their friend tells them to do something, that's good enough for me. They just move ahead. They're trusting to the point of being naive. Is that you? You say, Pastor, what's so bad about being trusting? You see, the problem sometimes with being trusting is that some people trust their friends to the point of their own destruction. Their friends tell you to try drugs. Do you know a lot of people are on drugs today because they followed a friend? Their friend said, try this. Oh, I tried it. I didn't bother to worry about consequences. I just went ahead. Now I'm hooked on drugs. I heard a lady on the radio this week, and she was saying how she followed her friend so much. She said, and one day I woke up and she said, I cried because I couldn't believe how messed up I was. And my friend, young person, I want to warn you, because some of you are following your friends. In fact, not only young people, some older folks are following their friends, and young people and older ones, I warn you, the Bible says don't be simple. And Lady Wisdom is calling you. And she's asking you, how long? How long are you going to continue with your simplicity, with your naivety, with following without testing and counting the cost? This morning, my friend, if you're one of those, God is calling you. I spoke to a young man one day, and he told me he was in trouble with the law. He said, Pastor, I really didn't do anything wrong. You know, I was driving my friends in a car, and they told me to stop at this corner store. And I sat at the corner store, and I waited for them. And after a while, they came back out, and they jumped in the car, and I took off. And about a mile down the road, the police, and they pulled us over, and I found out that they had robbed the store, and I was an accomplice because I was the getaway man. But Pastor, I didn't have anything to do with it. Now, I don't know if he was naive or if he thought I was naive. It's one of the two. Either he was, or he thinks I am, and he's giving me this song and dance when he knew full well what was going on. I don't know, but here's the reality. A lot, this happens every single day. Every single day, people are getting into trouble because they're following a friend. So many girls got pregnant because of naivety. So many young men became fathers because of naivety. So many people are in jail today because they were naive and following people. And God is asking you today, and I'm going to challenge you in a few minutes. I'm going to ask you to get up from your seat and to come forward and to say, God, I'm turning around. God, I'm ready to go your way. I am finished with this naivety. Because here's the good news. God is able to give you all the wisdom you need to navigate life. Listen, young person. God is able to give you all the wisdom you need to live an effective life. Lady Wisdom calls the simple, but she's calling the scorner as well. Did you notice that in verse 22 as well? That in verse 22 she says, how long, you simple, will you love? For scorners delight in scorning. She's calling the scorner as well. You said, who is the scorner? The scorner, they think they know everything. You ever met anybody like that? They think they know everything. They think they know. They're so impressed with themselves. Scorners mock God. A scorner mocks the things of God. The Bible also calls them scoffers. Same word. As you read your Bible, if you run into a scoffer and a scorner, same exact person God is describing. And the Bible tells us that in the last days, there are going to be a rise of scoffers or scorners. So it shouldn't shock you that when you turn on the news media, very often you find a scorner who's laughing after the things of God. It shouldn't shock you that in almost every university of higher learning that you will go to, it shouldn't shock you that the professors are saying, God, who needs him? He doesn't even exist. It shouldn't shock us. In fact, 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us that in the last days, the scorners are going to be mocking the fact that Jesus is coming. They're going to say, what happened to your Jesus? I thought you told me he was coming. How come he hasn't come yet? You read it for yourself in 2 Peter chapter 3. They're going to say, listen, he ain't coming. If he ever existed, he's dead and he certainly isn't coming. Don't waste your time with this Jesus foolishness. Oh, probably you have heard that before. In fact, you may be even one of those who think that way. Perhaps you're a scorner and you're mocking the things of God. And late wisdom is calling to you and she's asking you to change directions. You know, the person who says he isn't coming, 2 Peter chapter 3, here's what it says. This is what they missed. That God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you realize the reason why the Lord Jesus has been kind enough to delay his coming has to do with you? Young man, young lady, older person, suppose Jesus had showed up yesterday. Come on now. If Jesus had showed up yesterday, where would that have left you? I'm talking not only to those who are unsaved. I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to Christians who are living footloose and fancy free. No thought of the things of God. No thought of a commitment to God. And God is giving you and I an opportunity to get it right. Do you really want God to come back Christian and you have nothing to show? You have nothing to show. No work of grace that was done in your heart in terms of, listen, that there was a change in your lifestyle. You had absolutely no impact for God. And listen, God is giving you and me another chance to get it right and to get into his business. Amen. But she not only calls the fool, and she not only calls the scorner, or she not only calls the simple and the scorner, she also calls the fool. Oh, I know we don't like to call people fool, but you see, God can call you whatever he pretty much wants to call you. Am I right about that? Oh, God doesn't need your permission. And God says some of us are plain fools. And in Psalm 14 verse 1, the Bible says the fool said in his heart, there is no God. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. You see, the fool is a practical atheist. Did you hear what I said? The fool is a practical atheist. The fool lives as if God does not exist. And because the fool lives as if God does not exist, the fool can do anything. The fool can do the things that God hates the most because God doesn't exist. I am living like God doesn't exist. Do you know what is sad? Many fools grew up in church. Can I be very frank? Many fools grew up in this church. There are some fools in the church right now.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God,
I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.